Now today is Sunday, November 14th, and earlier this month we celebrated the Reformation. Today we're going to continue that celebration by considering the truth from this text, John chapter 6, verse 44. That is, the Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 44. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to praise you and thank you and express our love and gratitude for all you've done for us, particularly to know that salvation is of the Lord. And our heart's desire is that you would reveal the truth to us in this passage of Scripture, and that we would give you the glory and honor due your holy name. We pray that you'll bless our time in this word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The celebration of the Protestant Reformation is a very important thing for us to continue today, because it was one of the major turning points in the history of the world, and certainly in the history of the church. We couldn't say it's most important, but it's very important. Now, four great doctrinal truths, well, more than that really, but four here came out of the Reformation, called sola Christos, which means Christ only is the Savior, sola gratia, which means by grace only, sola scriptura, which means the Bible is the sole authority, and sola fide, which means by faith only, not works. Now, there were other great truths, such as election and predestination, and the emphasis on the sovereignty of God. But sad to say, these days, these truths are ignored or disputed. And for the church to regain influence and power, we must return to these truths. This is vital for us today, to dwell on the truths that came out of the Reformation based on the Scripture. So to be a strong church, we must proclaim a sovereign God. Today, salvation is presented as a matter of human decision, with God as a spectator. We used to sing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." Now it's more like singing, "To man be the glory, great decisions we have made." It is as though we have taken God from the heavens and cut him down to man size, and we have elevated human free will to the point that God is an idle spectator, just waiting to see what humans will do, so then he will respond. That is not honoring to God. Now, here's the text we will look at. John 6, 44. Jesus speaking, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, the purpose of this text is to reveal the sovereignty of God in salvation. And our approach will be in the form of a question. What does this text teach us about coming to Christ? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So the first point is the necessity of the Father's drawing. And it is an absolute necessity. Because the text says, no one can. No one can come to Christ. Now that's a question of ability. The word can comes from a Greek word meaning powerful or able. No one, no unbeliever, which includes all of mankind, can come to Christ on our own ability. We just cannot. We are unable. Now, why is that? Why are we in such a condition? Now, this text does not explain it, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it is very clear, where Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians to say, and you who were dead in sin, he made alive. Now he goes on to list six different things that describe the condition of every unbeliever. But it's enough to say that the unbelieving are in spiritual death. That is, unable to come to God spiritually. We simply cannot. We do not have the ability. Dead people do not make advances. Dead people do not make decisions. Now the word come means to arrive. We cannot on our own arrive at coming to Christ because we don't have the ability. Now one of the key words in this passage is the word draw. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And the same word is sometimes translated drag. And the Greek dictionary explains that it can mean to draw by an inward power, by an inward influence. And that's what God does in the life of the believer he chooses to save. He bears an inward power, an influence in that person to draw them to Christ. It's a part of the regenerating process, whereby God gives life to the dead unbeliever and opens the heart and mind and the eyes and draws the unbeliever to Christ. And that unbeliever then overwhelmed by what is happening bows in worship to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We learn from this text the necessity of the Father's drawing. It is an absolute necessity. There is no other way about it. It is unless. The second point about the necessity is that it is a universal necessity. What does the text say? It says no one. No one. No body. No, not one. It is universal. It doesn't matter the outward condition of a person, of an unbeliever. He or she is dead spiritually, so that no one can come. That is, doesn't depend on wisdom, doesn't depend on wealth, or being scholarly, or being a leader, or being successful in life. We all have the same problem. It is universal. It is all around the world. It includes every human being. No one can come, kings, presidents, military generals, congressmen, no one can come unless. What a wonderful, beautiful word, which gives us hope, which means that there is a way, there is a solution, and the only solution is this. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And God is in the business of drawing people to Christ. And as he draws, we come to Christ. The third point about the necessity is that it is unchanging. It is universal, and it is absolute, and it is unchanging. Now, we're reading the Word of God. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's the Word of God. It is established. And this Word is not changed or changeable because it is established and fixed and firm by the decree of God. Now there are people today who want to say we must interpret the Word of God according to our culture. And our culture changes constantly. Today, our culture is ruled by the religion of tolerance. So we don't accept the biblical standards for morality. We accept the standards of our culture and we interpret the Bible accordingly. We are not ruled by relativism because we have the absolute standard of God's Word, and here is an unchanging necessity. According to the decree of God, no one can come to Christ unless the Father who sent him draws him. So we learn from this text. There is a necessity of the Father's drawing. It is absolute. It is universal. And it is unchanging. Now, the second point we learn from this text is the necessity of the Father's power. It takes divine power and energy to raise a person from spiritual death. It takes a divine resurrection, explained in Ephesians 1:19, where Paul states that the same power which raised Jesus from the dead is the power that raises an unbeliever from spiritual death to life. It takes the power of God Almighty to deliver us from one realm of darkness into the light of the glory of His Son. We are delivered, we are translated, we are transferred. And only God's power can take us from one realm to another. There is the necessity of the Father's power because we are not able. We cannot. There is nothing we can do about our condition of spiritual death. It is God who must come to us. And I use the word must, M-U-S-T. It is must. God's power is vital and essential and critical to our salvation. It requires conversion to take from one realm to another, from the realm of spiritual death to the realm of spiritual life. We must return to believe these truths. Now, thirdly, in this passage, we learn that there is the necessity of the Father's direction. What do I mean by this? I mean by this that is the Father who draws us to Christ, not to Abraham and not to Moses and not to an angel, not to another human being, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. He draws us to the only Lord and Savior, not anything or anyone else. It is His leading and guiding and drawing that brings us to Christ. Now there's a question that comes to us. What does it mean to come to Christ? It means to believe in Him. When Paul and Silas were released from jail and the jailer came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Their answer was clear and direct and simple and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And we want to look at this text in that way. We could rightly read, "No one can believe in me unless the Father who sent me causes him to believe." So coming is believing. And the Father draws us to Christ and we believe. So there are three necessities here, and then this raises a question. Whom does the Father draw? And the answer is not in this text, but it is in verse 37 of this chapter. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Now, whom does the Father draw? He draws those whom He has given to Christ. That is, His elect. Those whom He has chosen from before the creation of the world, He draws and gives to Christ. And those He gives to Christ, notice, will come. Now that brings up another doctrine out of the early church, out of the Bible, and out of the Reformation. It's called effectual calling. That is, when the predestined moment comes for God to save an unbeliever, that will happen. The unbeliever's will is not able to overcome God's will, and though the unbeliever can resist to a point, it can go no further when God predestines the moment to draw that believer. And this text says, the believer will come. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Now we need to restore the sovereign authority of God in salvation. and not leave it up to the mere whim and fancy or decision of an unbeliever. It can only come about by the drawing of God for those he gives to Christ. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. It means never. Anyone believes, comes to Christ in believing, will never be turned away. Never. So we respond to this text this morning. And I can say to you, are you one of those whom the Father is drawing? Do you want to be? Is there a desire in your heart? Well, that is because God has put it there, and God's grace is leading you and guiding you. And if this is of interest to you, to be brought from spiritual death to spiritual life, then bow before the Lord God Almighty in prayer and ask him to draw you and ask him to give you faith so that you can come believingly to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be forgiven and have eternal life with heaven as your home. You can do that because God is drawing you. Generally, to the church, we need to respond, to come back to these truths of the Reformation, so that the church once again can be strong and have an influence. And we return to sing, "To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and the great doctrinal truth that came from the early church and through the Reformation. Bring about another Reformation, we pray, so that once again you will be honored and glorified. Bring a personal Reformation to us this morning and cause us to respond to your glory and give you the honor you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.